and finish what God has laid out before us. We're going to pick up in Joshua chapter 10. We'll start in verse 7, but before we start reading in verse 7, 1 through 7 has some interesting details. Five kings decide to get together and to attack the Israelites, or five kings decide to come together and the Israelites are going to go out and attack them. And God has promised them that in this battle, five on one, that he will give them victory. And so they have to finish what they start. They have to see this battle all the way out to the end. And in the heat of this battle, there's even a need for God to do something miraculous that we'll read about in a moment. And they have to stay dedicated to its completion. And so look at what happens in verse 7. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you." Do you see that in verse 8? God makes this promise, "I have delivered them into your hands, these five Amorite kings." Verse 9, "So Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. So the Lord routed them before Israel, killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeah, chased them along the road that goes to Beth-horon, and struck them down as far as Azekah and Makeda. And it happened, as they fled before Israel and were on the descent to Beth-horon, that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more that died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and said in the sight of Israel, 'Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon.' So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher, 'So the sun stood still in the midst of the heavens and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day? And there has been no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, and the Lord fought for Israel.' Then Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal. But these five kings had fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makeda. And it was told Joshua, saying, 'The five kings have been found hidden in the cave at Makeda.' So Joshua said, 'Roll stones against the mouth of the cave, and set men by it to guard them, and do not stay there yourself, but pursue your enemy and attack their rear guard. Do not allow them to enter the city, for the Lord your God has delivered them into your hand.' Then it happened, when Joshua and the children of Israel made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter till they had finished, that those who escaped entered fortified cities, and all the people returned to the camp, to Joshua at Makeda in peace. No one moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then Joshua said, 'Open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings to me from the cave.'" We'll bow there for a moment of prayer. Father, we come before you right now and we ask that you would minister to us as your people. I pray, God, that we as Jesus followers would be marked as individuals that finish what you set before us. That we, Father, would complete the things that you have prepared beforehand for us to walk in. That, God, we would be dedicated and disciplined as your disciples, as your servants, to do what you desire of us. And so prepare us and encourage us for this year to come. Help us to stay faithful in our walk with you. Help us to grow closer in our relationship with you, to better understand who you are, to better represent you in the world that you have placed us in, for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Finishing what you started. The statistics are not in our favor when it comes to New Year's resolution making. A matter of fact, only 8% of people that make New Year's resolutions complete them. Only 8%. 80% of New Year's resolutions will fail by February. They're like, well, at least I'm going to have a strong January. Many of those New Year's resolutions that we make are, you know, are, of course, getting in shape. Some of you might have the resolution, I'm going to run a marathon this year, and tomorrow you're going to lace up the running shoes you got for Christmas, and you're thinking, I'm going to run 13 miles tomorrow. Make sure you read your Bible and pray before you go. And don't take your cell phone, you might need to call for help. All right, some of the other ones, I want to get my finances under control. Another common New Year's resolution, I want to learn a new language. As followers of Jesus, we can have resolutions where I want to grow closer to the Lord. I want to better honor God. I want to spend more time in God's Word. And even the fact that you're here this evening, instead of out at a party or you're putting this time first, would even show some of that effort and some of that direction. And so often we start things, but we struggle to finish them. If I could even have a moment and maybe just speak men to men. Men, we can struggle to finish things that we start. You know, there's for many men, you know, a project at home, a bathroom renovation, everything could be done, but there is a 2-foot section of baseboard that is missing. To your wife, the job is not complete. To the man, I finished this one. Let's jump on to the next one. It could be painting a bedroom. 99% of the bedroom is painted, but there's one little area around the closet that still needs to be cut in, and who likes to cut in? That's the worst part. I always get it on the ceiling. You look at it, I think it's finished. Let's move on to the next one. You might even have a project in your garage. That car, that motorcycle, it has collected some dust over the years, but I'm going to get around to it. I'm going to finish it. Is it important that we, as Jesus followers, finish the things that God has put before us or that God desires us to finish? I would say absolutely yes. And I think if we look at this story, we are going to be prepared and we are going to understand how important it is to finish the things that we started. For some of you in this year, it may be, you know, doing the baseboard. It may be cutting in the last little bit of paint. It may be finishing a project at home. It may be that commitment to actually read the Bible in 1 year, but to stay focused till we finish. As I told you that it's important, we can even look at Jesus and think of Jesus' example to let us know that it's important that we finish the things that we started. Jesus finished the work that he started, even to that point of death on the cross. What did Jesus cry out on the cross? It is what? He did not cry out, it is good enough. It is almost there. What did he say? It is finished. Joshua and the Israelites are at a moment where they're being asked to do just a little bit more. As they're coming to face these five kings, they do something rather impressive in a 24-hour period. As they leave their home base and they march from Gilgal to Gibeah, understand that in chapter 10, this covers just the march from Gilgal to Gibeah, or Gibeah to Gilgal, 25 miles through the night. So as these men get ready, before they even swing the sword or take it out of the sheath, they have already marched 25 miles. They've already ran a marathon through the cover of night. But this wasn't one of those easy marathon courses. This was a marathon course that was uphill, kind of like the old thing I used to walk, you know, barefoot in the snow, 5 miles uphill, both ways kind of stories. This is a 25-mile hike or march through the night with an elevation change of 4,000 feet. So these men have put in the march, but then they engage in battle and begin to fight the Amorite kings, these five kings, 5-on-1. I don't know about you, but I don't call that a fight. That's called getting jumped, right? When it's 5-on-1, that's not a good odd there. But the five kings are being faced by the Israelites who have just marched 25 miles uphill. And as they engage in battle and they're fighting for their life and they're pushing the enemy out, they will march another 10 miles in battle. Talk about a workout. Talk about some effort. Talk about if there's ever a moment where it's like, okay, can we have a break? This is good enough. The fact that we're here right now and we've walked all night, can we just take a break? No, you find in the text they want to push on. You even see in the great little section in 11 through 14 where Joshua cries out to the Lord in front of all of Israel, you know, God, can you provide a nightlight? Can you cause the sun to stand still and to illuminate so we can continue to fight these Amorites, that we can continue till we finish what you have put before us? And God, in this miraculous way, keeps the lights on. He owns a lot more than Edison. He owns the sun, and he keeps the lights on, and the children of Israel fight and push back the Amorites, these mountain people, these giants that they wage war against. And this becomes such an amazing battle that you even find, and I'm sure you have a question, in verse 13, that it's written in what they call the book of Jasher. And maybe you looked in your table of contents, and you're going, I have no clue, what is this book? It appears to be a lost book that's mentioned here and in 2 Samuel chapter 1. And it is believed to have been a Hebrew songbook honoring the leaders of Israel and their exploits in battle. It's even recorded there that they put forth this effort, that they fight this fight, that they go all the way. But you pick up in verse 15 and look at what happens. You find out that these five kings, these Amorites, these giant people, these enemies of Israel, these people that have haunted them for 4+ decades, the leaders have retreated to the Bat Cave. Look at it in verse 15. Then Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal, but these five kings had fled and hidden themselves in a cave at Makeda. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings have been found hidden in the cave at Makeda. The wage, the battle so intense, the leaders of these five kingdoms decide to go and hide out, and they're hiding out in a cave. All five of them in one cave. And notice in verse 19 what Joshua does. Joshua ends up turning them into, instead of superheroes in the bat cave, he turns them into like the Chilean miners that were hidden or trapped underground. It says in verse 19 that he told them, or rather, not 19, let's go to verse 18. So Joshua said, roll large stones against them in the mouth of the cave and set men by it to guard them, and do not stay there yourself, but pursue your enemy and attack their rear guard. Do not allow them to enter their city, for the Lord your God has delivered them into your hands. Joshua does something interesting. He could have called it good enough. He had the five kings. Let's wipe the five kings out. Let's call it good and let's be done. But Joshua is strategic. He says, roll stones and stick them in the cave, hide them out, lock them down, put them on a rest, put some guards. And then look at what he does. He prioritizes. Go after the rear of the army and wipe them out before they make it into a safe haven. God has delivered them to us. Yes, we have the prize, the kings, but there's still the enemy, still the battle to be fought. Pursue on and overtake the rear guard. He prioritizes what is most critical. The five kings, the big prize, the one that, you know, let's mount them on the coffee or on the fireplace mantle. We have the five kings, but he says, no, it's important that we prioritize. God has given us the whole army. Go after the rear guard. They go through and they do the best that they can to chase them into the strongholds, to wipe them out. God gave a massive victory. But then we come to verse 22. Then Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring out these five kings to me from the cave. And they did so and brought out those five kings to him from the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. All five of those kings that were locked up, think of it for a minute, the stones have been put in front of the cave, they've been in darkness, and all of a sudden they begin to hear rocks being pulled away. And then as rocks are being pulled away, they see the first beam of light that pierces through like a white laser. And surely they're wondering, have we been rescued? Have our people come back for us? Have they come to see the king? And as more and more stuff gets pulled down, they hear the language of the Hebrews. They know that they are found. They know that it is over. And there they stand before a group of men that are stained with battle, that have labored heavy, that are filthy from the dirt, that are blood-stained and worn out from war. And these foes come right before them, and each one of them are identified. You see it in verse 23. Identification is confirmed. It's each of the five kings are captured. And we pick up in verse 24. So it was when they brought out those kings to Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with them, come near. Put your feet on the neck of these kings. And they drew near and put their feet on their necks. Then Joshua said to them, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. And afterwards Joshua struck them and killed them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging on the trees until evening. So it was at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down from the trees, cast them into the cave where they had been hidden, and laid large stones against the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. Joshua, look at this, is finishing what he started, but I want you to understand what's taking place here, because at initial read you might say, okay, this is kind of mean. This is kind of an act of torture. This is gruesome, and the scripture's honest and open. You might even think, if you remember back when one of the biggest prizes was captured in our war in Iraq, when we captured the evil dictator Saddam Hussein. Remember, he went through his trial and he was sentenced to death and he died by hanging. But after his death, there was released on YouTube, of all places, video capturing his death. And it actually turned out to be a shame because of the things that were being said. It wasn't honorable or respectful. The insults that were being hurled, and the United States was under, you know, some pressure. It kind of gave him a little bit of a black eye for a time. And you might read something like this and go, man, is this kind of that same thing? Are they trying to rub it in? But I want you to see something here that Joshua is doing to encourage the people to finish what they start, to see things all the way out. If you look at verse 25 and look at what Joshua says to the men, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. I want you to see the picture that Joshua is painting for his men, who have marched through, who have given it their all, who did not give up, but finished what they started. And the first thing you see in this action is that they glorified the Lord. Look at what it says in verse 25. The Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. These five kings, the Amorite people, were wicked people that God had given into the hands of the Israelites, but 4 decades earlier, they were afraid, all of them but this two men, Joshua and Caleb. And after all of these decades, it's time to finish what was started, and you see Joshua saying, God is glorified in finishing what we start. The Lord has given us this victory. The Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. As the Bible would say to us in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Even the death of Jesus is a great triumph of victory that he gives to each and every one of us in the enemies that we face. Our fears, our struggle with sin, our fight against the enemy. The Bible would even say in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8, you have put all things in subjection under his feet. It's this great sign of the victory we have. And as the Bible says in Romans chapter 16, verse 20, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Do you see the picture of we're finishing what we started and God has brought us victory? He is putting these people and their oppression and their wickedness under our feet. The second thing you see, it's encouragement for the future. It's encouragement for the future. As Warren Wiersbe will say, he says this, he called for his officers to put their feet on the necks of the kings, symbolic not only of their past victory, but also of the victories the Lord would give his people in the days ahead. He says, be strong. Good courage. You want to finish what you start? I would encourage you to set things up for quick victories and remember them. Take moments and look back on 2017 and realize, how did I grow? What was I struggling with that God has worked in my life or in my marriage? What has God accomplished in me? And take moments and be encouraged by that past victory and look for courage for future victories. You find something interesting in this aspect of victory against these five kings. They're going to go on and face, if you look in chapter 11, the northern campaign, they're going to go up against another group of armies to take the land that God had promised them, to be used by God to bring judgment for sin against a wicked people. But they needed this moment when they could look back on this victory because the future conquest was going to be huge. In chapter 11, they're going to fight a Canaanite army that Josephus, the historian, records and says the Canaanite army consisted of 300,000 foot soldiers, 100,000 cavalry, and 20,000 chariots. That's a big army. But they have this past moment where God was victorious. And if he said, I will deliver them into your hands, and he promises to deliver the others into their hands, he will faithfully do it. Look at the third thing that's seen as encouragement in this. Instead of it being something that is degrading or insulting, it's a reminder of sin's consequence. These five kings were hung on trees until nightfall. The Bible makes it very clear that cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. Even us remember that Jesus, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, hung on the cross, took our curse, died for our sin, was humiliated for our wrong, to even go proof that the wages of sin is death. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 21, 22 through 23, it talks about the cursed person who's hung on a tree. It's a reminder of sin's consequences. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. With that little bit of story to see them see it all the way out, I'd like to give you, from the text here, some practical things to consider in 2018. I have seven of them. It's not going to be a long drawn out. I know it's like seven. Oh my. One for each day of the week to remind yourself of to finish what you start. Hey, could you learn from this first? You see that the cleanup details are important. One, to finish what you start in 2018, remember that the details are important. The cleanup details, the little things, the 1%, the 0.5% left. If you're really going to finish the things that are set before you, if you are really going to enjoy and accomplish the promises God has given you, see His work in your life, you must take every little detail, every little aspect, every area of cleanup for your change into godliness serious. One little person kind of put together this idea that if 99.9% were considered good enough, then this year alone, they say, 2 million documents would have been lost by the IRS. 12 babies would have been given to the wrong parents each day. 291 pacemaker operations would have been performed incorrectly, and 20,000 incorrect drug prescriptions would have been written if 99.9% was good enough. Look at this. The cleanup details are important. If you are focused on honoring the Lord with your life and dealing with sin or things that have just enslaved your life, don't stash an emergency bottle. Don't have a backup plan. Don't password protect a home computer and not deal with your cell phone if there's an area or something there that you need to deal with. The cleanup details are important. Second, finish what has been promised. Do you hear that? Finish what has been promised. The exertion of the children of Israel, the entire battle that was fought against the Amorite kings, was all based on the promise that God had given them. Today I'm delivering them into your hands. Finish what God has promised. In Exodus chapter 23 verse 30, it said, "Little by little I will drive them out before you until you have increased and you inherit the land." In verse 8 of chapter 10, "Do not fear, for I have delivered them into your hands. Not a man of them shall stand before you." They are finishing what God had promised. Think about what God has promised you. He has promised to complete the work that He has started in you. God has let you know that He has prepared good works beforehand that you might walk in them. Are you finishing the promises that God has placed before you? You might be on the verge of your Christianity to say, "Hey, you know what? Forget it. I'm done with this. This is too hard." No. God has promises for you that are yes and amen. Put forth the hard work and finish. Enjoy the blessings of the promise. I know I've got to deal with this in my life, but I'm struggling. I keep going back. Put it off and put on something new and know that God is faithful in His promises. He promised the children of Israel deliverance, but they had to march the 25 miles. They had to push the 10 miles in. They had to fight all through the day and into the next day. They had to march all night instead of sleep. But what did they do? They finished what had been promised. Third, it's never too late to finish. It's never too late to finish. For some of you, it may be something that God has pointed out or convicted you of for the last 5 or 6 or 10 years. It may be something that's been scratching at your conscience, and it's been so long you're even becoming numb to the scratches. It's never too late to finish. Remember these Amorite kings? In Numbers chapter 13, decades earlier, these people were given to the Israelites, but they were fearful. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't put forth the work. They didn't go in and possess the land God had given them. But here we see Joshua, 4 decades later, finishing and putting forth the effort to handle what had been before him for 40 years. It's never too late to finish. It's never too late to finish. There may be a friendship that has been hurting for years. It's not too late to finish the restoration process. There may be a childhood sin or struggle that it's never too late to deal with. Hey, there may be shelves that you bought several years ago when Home Base went out of business. Maybe we put them up. It's never too late to finish. 4, prioritize based on urgency. Prioritize based on urgency. Joshua had the smarts to know that the kings were contained. They were the big victory. They were the prize of the battle. But what did he do? He prioritized his army and focused on what was urgent. I want you to get the back tail end of the army. We have the kings. Keep them under guard. But let's finish. Let's prioritize what is urgent. For some of you to finish in this coming year, pick some simple things. Start with some of the small ones. Getting in shape, maybe it's simple. Start with consistently walking around the block. If it's total abandonment of sugar and you're going to go home and eat 2 dozen sugar cookies before the clock strikes midnight because tomorrow it's all out, maybe you reduce your sugar in half for a week. Maybe you just cut down on, instead of 2 dozen sugar cookies, maybe one after a meal. And Jackie, that's not my New Year's resolution. I like cookies. But prioritize based on urgency. Fifth, finished work is encouragement for future conquest. Verse 25, remember, just like I've given them into your hands, I'm going to give the rest into your hands. Enjoy those victories. Enjoy that moment when God in His faithfulness and your discipline, you have overcome, and let it fuel future conquest. Don't forget the little things. Don't forget the moments when things went well, or when you, by God's grace, accomplished something for His honor and His glory. Let it fuel future conquest. With that truth, don't ever just settle. Don't ever think you've arrived until you arrive in God's presence for all of eternity. Keep pressing forward. Sixth, unseen doesn't make it finished. Just because it's unseen doesn't mean it's finished. It would have been real easy, remember, 25-mile hike, 4,000-foot elevation change, 10 miles fighting in battle. Who knows when the last time they had a break? It would have been real easy to say, the five kings in the cave, that's good enough. The rocks, there's no way they're going to get out. Let's call it good. They were unseen. Just because it's pushed under the bed, just because it's not out in front, just because it doesn't seem to be a hot button issue in your relationship right now, but you know it comes up every 2 months or every 3 weeks, just because it's unseen doesn't mean it's finished. This will be haunting to the children of Israel because they'll have moments when they don't finish things and it'll turn out to be a snare and a thorn in their side. Seventh, never start something without consulting the Lord. Never start something without consulting the Lord. Maybe in this coming year, and the things that you want to start, the things you want to do, spend a couple days asking the Lord what He desires to accomplish in your life. Lord, will You show me what I need to work on? Will You show me what You want to do in my life this coming year? The children of Israel had moments when they consulted the Lord, and then they had moments when they'd act in their own impulses. And every time they'd act in their own impulses, it got them in trouble. Well, after Jericho and they consulted the Lord, was this place called Ai, and they were obliterated. It was devastating to them. You want to know what the difference was? They didn't consult the Lord. They ended up, when they didn't consult the Lord, they ended up making a covenant to protect and to watch over people. It's one of the reasons that gets them in the mess that they're in right here in this text. Consult the Lord before you make your moves and you make your decisions. How can we finish what God has finished for us? There's really, truly only one way, and that is we understand what God has finished for each one of us. You know, Joshua fights this battle. Joshua cries out for the sun to stand still. Joshua leads the men. Joshua takes and has the kings shut up in the cave. Joshua brings them out of the cave. Joshua does all these greater things. But there is one that is greater than Joshua, and His name is Jesus. And Jesus has made it possible for us to finish what God places before us because Jesus finished it on our behalf. Jesus went in to the cave or to the tomb, and the stone was rolled in front of it. But when the stone was rolled away, He came out alive. Jesus went and conquered the king of death, the king of sin, the king of guilt, the king of shame. He has conquered the king of oppression by dying in our place, being cursed upon a tree, but on the third day rising again. And you can have a 2018 in which you see accomplishment in your life as you first see and believe in the accomplishment of Jesus, the true Joshua who has fought the battle for you and for me by dying for us. You see, the moment that we believe in Jesus and confess our sin, a great victory is won. We are forgiven of our sin, and the Bible says we become a new creation in Christ. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. The new you in 2018 is the newness of Jesus by trusting and believing in Him because of His victory, because of the war He waged upon the cross for your wrong and your guilt and your shame. And for anyone in here who has not trusted in Christ, that newness of life is available tonight. For anyone that has, that is going into 2018 and you're maybe discouraged, you're maybe down and out, and you're maybe a little fearful of the year, you have a great moment when you can remember the victory of all victories to encourage you for your future, to bring you to a place tonight of praise and to worship, to go, wait a minute, He has conquered death, He has forgiven me, He has made me a new creation. 2018, walk in newness of life and finish the works that He sets before you. We can finish what we start because Jesus finished the work for you and for me. Will you bow for a moment of prayer? Father, we thank You so much for Your faithfulness and Your goodness to us. We thank You, Lord, that You love us and that You're mindful of everything that we face. And God, I'm sure that in here this evening, there are those that have been in great battle, that have maybe in 2017 really waged war in their lives. But tonight we come to a place where we realize that the war of all wars has been won in Your Son, Jesus.